speaking of talented humans, we have another guest we'd love to introduce you to. He is somebody really special because he's doing something really special for the city. We teased it a little bit with the last guest, but we're going to go ahead and have a real conversation about Williams Park coming up next. Dom, who's our guest?
Sean Drinkard. Welcome.
Welcome, Sean.
Thank you.
Sean, you are the president of the Downtown Partnership.
No, vice president for
the vice president of the St. Pete Downtown and the CEO of the Williams Park
Correct.
Partnership.
Correct.
Those are two big roles.
They are.
We have lots to do.
So we had a little conversation earlier with Gina, who was one of our city council, amazing city council people, talking about what her initiatives were to get the band shell at Williams Park renovated before she leaves office. But there, you know, Williams Park is sort of a forgotten gem here in downtown St. Pete. But what you're doing, what you're already doing, is really revitalizing this beautiful, just awesome space in downtown St. Pete. So thanks already for what you're already doing for us.
Thank you.
So talk to us a little bit about the initiative and what our residents can expect.
Yeah. So the Williams Park Partnership was actually established in 2016. So this is a 10-year journey as to where we are today. The organization was created by stakeholders, business owners, with the idea and intent of doing new things in the park, right? There was some great things done for a number of years. Then the organization went idle, but then the St. Pete Downtown Partnership brought it back to life. Brought it back to life under the premise of working with the state for some additional state funding. So we have two things at play right now. One is the band shell renovations, but there's also an $800,000 appropriation from the state. And that money is towards safety and security, but we're also really keeping in mind future programming. So the enhancements through the state dollars will be overarching for the entire park, so that by the end of this year, we have a park that has all the different assets and needs to ensure that we have a really vibrant, great space.
Can you tell us about some of the programs that you've already planned to go into effect, I think, later this year?
Sure. So looking at the future programs in the park, before we jumped in and said we're going to do X, Y, and Z, we wanted to be really aware of what the needs are from the community and what the park can do best. So before we jumped into that, we contracted with Dan Biederman, based out of New York City, Bryant Park. So Bryant Park is one of the most premier public spaces in the country.
Without a doubt. It's fantastic. In the world,
right?
It's a great urban space, yeah.
And so his journey with that park was 30, 40 years ago. And the premise behind that park is activations and lots of rooms and spaces throughout an urban block. Very similar to what we have here in downtown St. Pete. This is our public square. It was the first public space in our city, 1888, right? And then became a park years later. And for the first 40, 50 years, our city used it as its major civic space, even before the city hall was built. So the park is really important, and it has great bones. And when we worked with Dan Biederman, he's worked all over the world on public spaces. His analysis was, this park has great bones. You don't need a full redesign of this park. It's all there. It's just a matter of understanding what those assets are and what the community wants and how you do that well. So with that said, we have an historical space. We have great bones in the park. It's in the middle of the city, right? So we have amazing parks in the city. We know what that looks like. We look at our waterfront parks. We look at the pier. Those are amazing public spaces. So there's no reason that us as a community can't create an amazing public space in our most historical space. With that, also being in the middle of downtown, the visibility in the space is huge. Looking at DOT numbers with our 3rd and 4th Street pair, over 50,000 cars pass by this park every day.
Wow.
50,000 cars. That's just cars, right? That's not our pedestrians and everything else we have happening around here. So here's this asset with great visibility, and we know what great parks are in this city. So all of that together, now we start to formulate what those major events and activities are. Also, this park alone is not just an event space. It's a 365-day space,
yeah.
Right? So that was a big piece that Dan Biederman and our team really broke down, is what do the spaces mean? What do they look like? So we have the band shell with the lawn in front of it. there's the fountain and the plaza. That plaza space, I think, is key. So it's kind of a afterthought, a space that we don't use today. And there's some things we need to rework there to kind of celebrate and open that space up and make it a true central plaza with seating and umbrellas and tables, chairs, all of that, right? So it's a destination at lunch. So we start to break out all these rooms. And once we have programmable rooms and we have what we need, you know, power, water, all those things, right? Then we go to the community and say, how can we be your partner with the city to do great things in this space in the middle of our downtown that's highly visible, right? So to answer your question, what are we going to do? I wanted to kind of set the stage first that this is not just a plug and play and say, well, yoga is cool in parks. We're going to do yoga, right? Like that's not the point here. We want to break down the spaces. We want to know they can be well used. And then we want to be that vessel to other nonprofits, to businesses and so forth to say, how can we engage you in this space?
Well, it's like your, if I may, it's like your approaches. I remember I read an article by a landscape architect and they were describing the approach to design very similar to what you're describing it, where you take an outdoor space and you subdivide it into rooms and you analyze the function of each of those rooms and what they're going to look like. And then that informs your design.
Yep.
So your approach is very aligned with a very scientific methodology that you guys have. So I love that you've put in that, all that thought into this, because this is a very important space.
So I studied landscape architecture in college, spent 8 years doing that. And then I took a pivot of, I really wanted to be more hands-on, right? I want to be a part of the spaces. You want to engage. As a landscape architect, you know, there's the design piece, but often after that, how do you continue to be engaged and be a part of that space? And this is the way that you can do that. And again, it's not just plugging in, you know, key things that you know, food trucks, yoga, these type of things, right? You know, yeah, they work, but not to say that any of that has to be in this space. So we know that construction will, you know, take the better part of this year. And then by the end of 26, that's when we want to launch and celebrate what the park has to offer and how we plan for 27. So as we move into 27, the goal is that we have a calendar of events for the entire year that's built by the community. We're starting a lot of different focus sessions. We'll actually be here at Thrive here in a week or two talking with anybody that has a business here about what do they want to see in the park. So there are big things that we know with our cultural institutions, with our other nonprofits, that we can partner and do some really fun things. But we want those smaller pieces to be really important and impactful as well. One thing that we definitely have planned is for the end of this year, through kind of a series of different conversations, we started to realize that because it is the middle of the city, it is that public space in the middle of our downtown, celebrating a winter concept with an ice rink could be a really great space for this. And we've had some ice rinks, you know, at the pier. The ice rink was there. And there's some ice rinks in different parks around.
There was one in, like, Albert Whitted a couple of years ago, yeah?
There was. For 10 years. Past 10 years. Wow. Okay. 10 years, right? So at Enchant inside the Trop. So, you know, we're used to these kind of, like, you know, little smaller rinks that, you know, come here for the holidays. But a really interesting thing that we're going to do a little differently, because we want to do something different in this park and celebrate it in a big way. Although outdoor ice rinks in Tampa Bay area are always covered in some shape or form, right? So we're going to go total open air, no cover over it. And we can do that based upon the location in downtown, kind of limited wind and so forth. So it's going to be a unique rink in that sense. You know, people are going to see it passing in, coming into downtown. But then also a holiday market and then back to that plaza space, right? Like, really important to celebrate that plaza space, with a food and beverage centered area there. So we're doing this for a few reasons. It gives us a big 2 month chunk that we can create a really special, unique experience in the park. But we can also, if you look at the layers of what happens there, we're doing it experimentally as well to think about how do we manage this plaza space? How does the food and beverage work in this corner? How does some retail pop-up work here? So it's going to be twofold. One, there's a program and a purpose and an intent to celebrate all the renovations and the end of this year. But also when you're there, think about each little piece of it. And we're kind of testing what works and how it works best as we roll into our bigger plan for 27.
I was so hoping you would bring that up. I was waiting for it. I was like, is he going to talk about the ice skating rink? Is it going to happen? Because I heard about it, and I was like, maybe it's not going to happen anymore. So I'm very excited, because one of the most memorable experiences I've had in Bryant Park in New York is during the holidays. They have an open air ice skating rink, like you're describing, with a little Christmas market, and it's just a magical experience. And I just can't wait. To have that sort of magical
experience. Have a Shake Shack? I think Bryant Park had the very first Shake Shack, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember when it was just a literal shack. I lived in New York City at that time. And I mean, there was lines around the block. But I bring that up only because there is so much to do in a space like that. That, you know, I'm from St. Pete. Are you born and raised here, Sean?
I've been here 23 years.
So when you're seeing that space your whole life, I remember growing up here, and downtown really wasn't the most destination spot in the 90s and early aughts. And, you know, I remember driving by there or walking by there. And as a theater guy, you know, when you see an empty stage, you're like, oh, but it really hurts your soul. Right. And so for many years, I remember thinking to myself, that place could be so special. And then, of course, the park and the show the show in the park that American Stage does every year is always a destination for me. So to be able to have another space that can be used all year long is something that I think every artist loves to see, because it's like, to your point, it's bringing the community together in a way that feels very centralized. Mm-hmm. And there's something that's like in our DNA as a community. We want to do those experiences.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of food, strong believer, food attracts people and people attract people.
Yeah.
So when we think about the park, I think of creative ways that we can introduce food on a regular basis in different areas of the park or in the perimeter of the park. So working closely on a couple of concepts there, that we develop kind of a culinary component that is a programmatic piece to the park. I followed Dan Biederman's work for decades, and we were in the park one evening and he made a comment I had never heard him say before. He said the key number for activation is 100 people per acre. And I've never heard that, but it makes so much sense.
Sure.
The park is like 3.5 acres. So immediately in my head, 300, 350 people in that park is that number that when you pass by, if you're one of those 50,000 cars passing by and there's just 300 people in the park, you're going to stop a second and say, wait a minute, what is that?
What's going on?
What's going on? Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So adding those culinary pieces, will be a big piece because again, mm-hmm. Food attracts people, people attract people. So that's how we start to create that trend and that feel and that look for the space.
Well, you know, always keep Radio St. Pete in mind because we also love community. That's all we're all about. We love local, music, local talent. And I'm sure there'll be opportunities for us to be part of
get on that stage and do a live feed.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the goal, right? You know, we want to see concerts on a regular basis, reoccurring concerts. So any groups that we can partner with to establish that reoccurring experience, movies in the park, you know, all those things, you see them in other places and they're all great. And a lot of that will replicate. Like, you know, it's not rocket science thinking what happens great in parks. But we want to do it to a level that's highly community-centric and as intense as possible so that you know you can always come there and have something to do.
Sean, thank you so much for what you're doing for St. Pete. I am a St. Pete, like I said, native. I love this city more than a lot of people do. I think I just have a weird love for it. I lived in New York City for many years, spent a lot of time in Bryant Park. And to be able to have that vibe here in St. Pete, it just makes me really excited. So thanks for what you're doing for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.